Blog Talk Radio.
We are live. Welcome to another episode of National Saving Fatherhood Radio, or NSF Radio. We're kicking it off today. Today we are talking about movies and the history and the effect on fatherhood today. So everybody, I want you to pay attention. We're going to go through this bit by bit, piece by piece. We'll look at the history of movies and the entertainment field. We'll also get into the biggest understanding how it affects us consciously and subconsciously. We will go through each steps of understanding the process of how to not let it affect us in modern times, but it somehow does affect us. All right. We always want to give a shout out to our brother Koopy. You in the house, brother?
Of course I'm here. Glad to be here.
All right. You ready to get to this?
Yes, sir.
All right. Sorry. First of all, we're going to talk to give a shout out to all those sponsors and those who are supporting the show. We're doing the best we can every month, every week. We're live. We never shoot off a paper unless it's just advertisement or promotion. But we try to root from the hip, straight from the mind. And you know, we appreciate you, and we want to say thank you for your opportunity to listen. I know life is busy right now with the COVID and all these other issues across this nation. So we want to make sure that you understand we support you and we're there for you. And we appreciate you taking that time. All right. So let's get deep into this. Okay. We look back in the history of, well, I believe it's 1918. The first movies came from a French inventors presenting it at a circus or a carnival event. What they were talking about, this new projection, where they take a recording and project it on a cloth and show a show. And over the years, this invention progressed into an art form, and I say art form because it's art. It's an art form. It's an expression of somebody's thought put on paper into action with a group of people supporting that cause or supporting that thought process and portraying a character on a screen. So we have to understand over the progress of time, it started developing on different issues. At first, it was silent films. Then it was audio and in different other formats of expression of art over the years. And one of the expressions was family values. In the early 50s and 40s, during World War I, World War II, we used that art form to show support for the troops and by coming up with... specific specific kind of movies or specific kind of subjects regarding the World War support, like support your troops and everything like that. But we also started talking about family values. They got to a point when during the time, I believe, is President Perdue and Johnson, and during the time of Nixon, where they were more focused on family values. So you got actors like Bob Hope playing, and you got Bing Crosby. You have all these musicals and stuff like that. But the message was family values. The father was supposed to be in the household, the woman in the kitchen. Those kind of things were being projected during this time. So during that time of history, we were looking at the norm of what the household of American values or a family dynamic looks like within the household. And people were loving this because they're saying, well, this is my household, or this is how I want my household to be. Now, listen to what I just said. This is how I want my household to be. So that means a new way of thinking or a new way of processing is started to be developed in the brain stem, and you started to record this saying, I want my life to be like Bing Crosby's life in that movie, The Family by the Dozen, or another good one, or an action kind of film where, you know, I am James Bond, and just trying to intimidate people with their projections of images, but to basically try to reprogram the mind to say, this is how a household is supposed to be looked, but it's an art form of expression. Now, when you go to biographies, when we go like Malcolm X, where the first Malcolm X movie was made with Morgan Freeman, who played Malcolm X right after the time of his assassination, he played Malcolm X, and the language was being used and being controlled from the census, telling you what to say and what you cannot say. So instead of saying, assalamu alaikum, my brother, they say, peace, comrade, or you use different terminologies in these movies, and you thinking, well, this is how they act. But people have to understand that the dynamic is actually wrong. It's not actual fact. It's fact mixed with fiction. So, or the quote somebody once said to me, is truth mixed with falsehood, okay? So because we have that truth and falsehood issue going on a constant basis, we have to be able to understand that these art forms are not just being art forms. They're programming your mind. So as time progressed, things started changing along the dynamic. So when we move into the 80s, when we're talking about the movie Cold Crush, we're talking about Back to the Future, we're talking another movie where, you know, other movies where the dynamic of the family is, okay, I do this and I do that, then, you know, this is my responsibility. Let's take Back to the Future, okay? Yes, it was about time travel, but you looked at the family dynamic behind that part of the main movie. You see George McFly, the character George McFly, being portrayed as a non-dominant father or alpha male in the household. And if you look at the way the mother's lines, the way the actress portrayed herself as the mother in the film, you listen to the tone of the language that was actually approved. I'm going to say that again. The language that was approved and the tone that was approved, then you can see that the language of the mother was stronger over the father's dynamic. He was more timid and last down, and she was more strong-minded. Because you look when Marty actually went back in time to see his mother, she was aggressive. And George McFly was not an aggressive kind of person. He was shy, withdrawn. His mental understanding was not of a person where I'm going to get what I need and I'm going to be strong-willed and I'm going to take care of what I need to take care of. No, it was timid. But the strong dynamic came from the bully was almost equal to the mother. So we have to look at these things, you just keep on thinking about how these things are occurring on a constant basis. Now, I want to go a little further in time, and we'll go into the year maybe early 2000s, and there was a movie called Turn It Up. Now, this movie was based off of a chain event. The subject matter, the frontal matter, was about a black man stuck between two worlds, where he's stuck between his rap career and his street career with his friend who played the character was played by Ja Rule, the rapper. Now, I want you all to listen to this real quick.
And loyalty.
I want my baby to have a real man, not some thug who's running the street.
Legitimate. You are...
Now, that was Sister Taia. She's talking about the understanding of what she wants as a father. The reason she made that statement because she, as a woman, women notice things in advance. And that was just a quick clip of what has occurred in our community. I'm sorry, the little audio might be a little bit off, but you have to look at these things on a broader dynamic and see, okay, well, a woman wants to know she feels safe. And if you're a father, you want to make sure you can provide. If you accidentally, and I'm not saying accidentally, because there's really no accidents, when you sleep with a woman, you intentionally to sleep with that woman. You made that choice not to put the condom on, not to put protection on, not to keep yourself safe and prevent that situation, because you make every other excuse in the book about that I don't need to wear protection. I don't need to wear a condom. I don't need to do this and do that. You made that decision. But we also have to look at other dynamics in that situation. The conflict of fatherhood has been going on in movies for over since its foundation. But the problems, they're not really stemming up in the film industry really until the early to late 60s on. Just to show you the difference between a good father and a bad father or a father struggling, I want you to listen to another clip I got from Pursuit of Happiness with Will Smith and Jaden Smith. Now, this clip shows you a emotional situation of a father struggling to be a good father and example to his child, which is based off a true story. But you also got to understand, there is a dynamic of artistic perspective placed in the movie. So, it's truth mixed with falsehood. So I want you all to take a listen to this too as well. We're going to play a couple of clips for you. We're going to show you a little bit time, and we're going to get into a little bit advertising and let you know what's going on as well. So I want to get y'all's opinion on this. You want to top it after it's done. I appreciate that.
I'm going pro.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know. You know, you'll probably be about as good as I was. That's kind of the way it works, you know. And I was below average. So you'll probably ultimately rank somewhere around there, you know. So really, you'll excel at a lot of things, just not this. I don't want you out here shooting this ball around all day and night. All right?
All right.
Okay. All right, go ahead. Never let somebody tell you you can't do something. Not even me. All right?
All right.
You got a dream, you got to protect it. People can't do something themselves. They want to tell you you can't do it. You want something, go get it. Period.
I want to get everybody's opinion. Brother Koofy, when you hear that, when you hear him on Will Smith and his son, who's playing the stockbroker's story, the black stockbroker's story, and he's talking to his son, what do you hear? What kind of message are you hearing?
I mean, well, for me personally, you're talking to, I mean, it's very, I'm going to be honest, like, it's very motivational, and I'm a motivational speaker of sorts. Like, I don't like to call myself one, but some people call me that, and I do some things in that genre of speaking, so to speak. Will Smith, of course, is somebody who carries a very Eurocentric thought process on certain things, right? And so the thing for him, he's trying to say as a father to the son in that story, you know, is, hey, you know, this is a, you know, the context is you have a father who is trying to get on track. He's trying to get a job. He's trying to become better. And he's basically, you know, trying to make it through with his son while living on the streets, hoping that he can get a better life. And his whole life up to this point, he hasn't made it to his full potential. So his son is talking about something, and he treats his son the same way he feels he's being treated, right? Like, I have a dream. I got a responsibility. I want to do things this way. And his son is saying the same thing, and just like he's been shut down, he's trying to say that, you know, he himself is, you know, is shut down. Now, the message is to try and say, hey, nobody should tell you what to do, including me, including your father. Now, obviously, there are some issues with that in and of itself. Whether we want to talk about is that exactly how that actually happened in the real life story? Those are some things we could actually bring up as well. But also, as far as the main thing, it's another way of, you know, if we just be honest about it, it's another way of fathers and fatherhood being brought down. If we look at television shows, if we look at the way movies are presented, usually the father is kind of presented as the bumbling idiot. You know, he's in Family Matters, he's the guy that goes out, he's the police officer, but at the same time, he is the person that oftentimes is made to look stupid, made to look dumb, is you know, fat, overweight, out of shape. But, you know, every once in a while he seems like he'll be comfortable, you know. Then there's another, you know, then you have other things that come out, like you have the You know, look at on the Boondocks, you know, Granddad, even though they're making a political statement, but Granddad is kind of the buffoon. You know, look at Tom in the same show, who's married to the white woman, and he always is too soft, or he's very effeminate. You know, and so it's another, if you're not careful, you find this is something, oh, that's cute and cuddly. And there's a semi-decent message, but also too, as a father, I teach my children all the time, look, you might not like everything I say or certain things, but there's a reason why I say them. Now, I can see in this instance, he's putting stuff on his son that maybe he shouldn't be putting on him, but there's an overall sense, in Hollywood glamour, so to speak, to where we glamorize the Hollywood scene, but we also defund, in a sense, we emasculate the father figures. And so you have another example of that kind of here, where even though the message seems like it's overall good, the reality is more of the same. Hey, fathers really are not as good. We really shouldn't listen to them. Don't worry about it, because we don't really see the same message happen in shows that go other places, or even look at what we see on Tyler Perry movies. You know, you're always going to have a matriarch. You actually have a man dressed up as a woman. The woman's perspective is always the one that reigns. Man, there's always going to be a man that's cheating. If you find a good man, it's going to be a man that's going to give you everything of your dreams. It's not going to say anything, you know, really of value. He's going to be somebody that can sing. He can sweep you off your feet. He has a great job. Or even if he doesn't have a great job, he's going to have enough to take care of you. He's going to be, you know, he's going to have muscles all over his body, all these things. And it kind of gives this unrealistic thing. And it starts speaking to things where now you've got women who believe in masculinity being toxic, as if just because you're masculine, it means that you're toxic. Now, there can be masculine people or masculine men who are also have toxic issues, but to be masculine in and of itself is not toxic. So it's one of those things that's underlined. It's an undertone where even though you would think, oh, okay, that's nice, that's cute, that's a kind of cool little scene, that's nice that they would do that, you also have to look into the history of those types of productions and see that they're actually, you know, kind of continuing and furthering the same thing. And if you're not careful, you will have this information that's not just in one show or one movie, but it's constantly and it's consistently brought forth. It's consistently being shown to you. It's consistently being brought in your face. And if you're not careful, you will fall for this as, oh, okay, this is just, you know, a nice little example. And the reality is that this is something that Hollywood plays on over and over and over again, to a place where even we've seen Will Smith in his personal life, where this thing of the father being emasculated or a man not being treated correctly comes to bite, his son doing certain things, him doing certain things, to where you can see the, you know, the home being broken down, to where people say, where did this come from? And like you were saying, there's movies where they are, it's not TV, it's not just television you watch, but you watch television programming, television design, to get you to believe a certain thing and to get out of pocket and to get out of things that, you know, have been ordained to be able to make us who we're supposed to be.
Well, yeah, I feel that. We have another caller. Caller, what do you think about this subject? Caller, are you there? Okay. Well, I want to just basically also reiterate, see, the effect doesn't just affect us and normal folks. It has affected the world in perspective. You know, we just have to constantly be aware on what we are going through, or what we are saying, what we're portraying on film, on TV. You just like you said, a lot of times fathers are like presented as bubbling idiots. Look at Two and a Half Men. The guy got totally dismasculation. His alpha is not even present. His wife took the house, slept with somebody else, became gay, then stopped being gay, and turned around, and after that she get married to somebody else. She's raping his money from him, child support, okay. The son, he gets visitation, but the son doesn't respect him. He's living with his brother. Does that seem like a good, stable father? No, that's not. And we see this presentation there on a constant basis. But then you get some people within the black community as well that try to present a positive message that, you know, I'm not just a father for my own son or my own child, but I am a father for the community. This character, Lawrence Fishburne, played in Boys in the Hood. How he made his mistakes when he was younger. The relationship did not work out. So the son lived with the mother on most of the time, and then lived with the father on the other time. But then the child's son got into trouble and couldn't be, you know, the mother couldn't handle the son anymore, and that son went to live with the father. So this son now is in a new environment, being raised in this environment, but the father did not want that child to let the environment dictate his actions. So he develops himself, he grows his business, he's doing it for himself, he's being productive, he's trying to present a message to his son, but also show an example just for his son to, you know, portray in this, you know, in a future time. So, you know, I want you to listen to this clip right here. We're going to listen to a little things here today, and we're going to get into just a little bit of the subject matter. So I would love to hear y'all views on this one. Tell me what y'all think about this one.
Why don't y'all take a look at that sign up there? See what it says? Cash for your home. You know what that is?
Billboard.
What are y'all, Amos and Andy? Are you stepping and he's fetching? I'm talking about the message, what it stands for. It's called gentrification. It's what happens when the property value of a certain area is brought down. Huh? You listening?
Yeah.
To bring the property value down. They can buy the land at a lower price. Then they move all the people out, raise the property value, and sell it at a profit. Now, what we need to do is we need to keep everything in our neighborhood, everything, black. Black-owned with black money, just like the Jews, the Italians, the Mexicans, and the Koreans do.
Ain't nobody from outside bringing down the property value. It's these folks shooting each other and selling that crack rock and shit.
Well, how you think the crack rock gets into the country? We don't own any planes. We don't own no ships. We are not the people who are flying and floating that shit in here. I know every time you turn on the TV, that's what you see, black people selling the rock, pushing the rock, pushing the rock. Yeah, I know. But that wasn't a problem as long as it was here. Wasn't a problem until it was in Iowa, and it showed up on Wall Street where there are hardly any black people. Now, if you want to talk about guns, why is it that there's a gun shop on almost every corner in this community?
Why?
Tell you why. For the same reason that there's a liquor store on almost every corner in the black community. Why? They want us to kill ourselves. You go out to Beverly Hills, you don't see that shit. But they want us to kill ourselves. Yeah, the best way you can destroy a people, you take away their ability to reproduce themselves.
Yeah.
Who is it that's dying out here on these streets every night? Y'all.
Yeah.
Young brothers like yourselves.
What am I supposed to do? Fool roll up, try to smoke me? I'm gonna shoot the motherfucker if he don't kill me first.
You're doing exactly what they want you to do. You have to think, young brother, about your future. Huh?
Okay, see, now, if you remember what I just said, and we went through that process, you'll see Lawrence Fishburne's character reinvented himself. He made a mistake. He had the opportunity to take care of his son, and he did it. and he took the opportunity to put himself in a better limelight to present a better father. The character underline of the car of the father, if you look at it, was just look if you look at the script, let me put it like this. When a writer writes a script, it and submits it to a studio like Paramount, like Fox, like Warner Brothers, whatever, the first thing they do is they edit and re-edit or take out what they think is appropriate for the film to portray in there. And then that's not all. So the next part, once it's accepted, then the artist or the person like Lawrence Fishburne comes into place to play that character. He has to use either his technique to portray the character the right way and with a tone. So he talks to the director, and there's always on every set a rewriter for the character on the set. So when he's on that set, he is putting his input, the artist is putting, Lawrence Fishburne is putting his perspective on the character. He's not just taking it as it is. He's putting in his input because you got different kinds of actors, method actors. You got straight shoot from the hip kind of actors, you know, different kind of ways of portraying characters to get the message that the artist wants on the screen. Now, that part comes into play. So Lawrence Fishburne set that tone and made his voice come through the character, who was a fictional character based off the book, the original book or script. Okay? So you have the input there, the feeling, and then you have emotions connected to the message. And that message, believe it or not, programs your thought process, and believe it or not, you are now portraying the mentality or a piece of that mentality in your life. All right, y'all understand me now? So we have to be able to look at these things and say, okay, what's the message? Yes, I go to movies for a date night to get a kiss from the girl and get there and, you know, popcorn and candy and everything, make it an event, but you're really going there to be reprogrammed. You know, like, all right, I'll take another one. Masters of the Universe. This is an old one. When they first tried to do He-Man with real people, they used the family dynamic, pieces of family dynamic within the movie. Well, Skeletor is Skeletor, but they portrayed it in an upper grade, and you know, in the forefront, like in the front of the movie message. But in the back, it was about love and how love should be taken care of. The concept of Romeo and Juliet has been around for years. The concept of love has been around for years since its conception portrayed on the stage of Greece and whether it's in Athens, the Great Hall, or the Colosseum. They always portrayed a character in an emotional way to teach you how things should be. Like the concept of giving a woman flowers. That's a program. That's not, I mean, come on, man. You know, you think there were cavemen walking around giving women flowers back in the day? Like it was a natural instinct to do? No. Somebody saw it on a movie or a newspaper or some kind of propaganda and said, that looks cool. That looks sweet. My girl will like something like that. Those things are programs. It's like back when you had a floppy disk and you slipped the floppy disk for the program into the computer. The concept has always been around for years, but the mind is like a computer. The Mayans even had that concept. We go far back. Over the years, we've tried to bring a message of fatherhood in a positive light. But over the years, it has diminished for a vast amount of time. We are looking at 65.6% where fathers are not in the home. We are looking at the situation where it's like you trying to portray a positive role model. But there is that 1%, that 10%, where, where even though the father was in the home, was not in the home, but his presence has been known, or you know him about him, and the son or the child gets curious. If we look at it, look at our president, our past president, President Barack Obama. His father was a scientist, an African scientist, and he studied different chemistries, different methods of medicine, and as portrayed. Now, I'm not going to just take my word for it. I want you to listen to President Barack Obama, what he says about having his father or not having his father in the household.
What negative effects do you think you've had in your life by not having your father in your life?
You know, as I look back, you know, I only remember my father for 1 month my whole life when I was 10. And it wasn't until much later in life that I realized, like, he gave me my first basketball, and it was shortly thereafter that I became this basketball fanatic, and he took me to my first jazz concert, and it was sort of shortly thereafter that I became really interested in jazz and music. So what it makes you realize is how much of an impact,
even if
it's only a month, that they have on you. But I think probably the most important thing was his absence, I think, contributed to me really wanting to be a good dad. Because I think not having him there made me say to myself, you know what, I want to make sure that my girls feel like they've got somebody who they can rely on. And,
sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so you see what I'm talking about? You see, that now that's in the percentage. Barack Obama said out of his own mouth, he got interested in basketball because his father made himself known. The strength and the presence of a good father or presence of a father, a biological father, has a very great impact on a child's life. So that father needs to be in that life somehow, some way, make yourself present. So I tell everybody, all my clients, I tell all the people that support National Saving Fatherhood, you must support that. So, you know, with that being said, you know, Brother Cooper, what you think about what we just played, man?
Well, as far as it goes, when we're talking about the father and the presence of a father in somebody's life, I mean, of course, it's necessary. Even with some of that, as far as statistics of fathers that are not in the home, some fathers actually do try to take care of their children, but they're not, they don't live there, or sometimes they're limited because of different fighting or different beasts or whatever that are going on between the mother and father. But the father being in the home is a parent. We can go outside of religiosity. We can go outside of just Afrocentric thought processes. Time magazine made it a point to say in their news articles, you know, and this was like in the early 2000s, they came up with an article and told people that we can tell that people who come up with fathers do a lot better on average. Obviously, there are exceptions to every rule, but people with fathers do better than people without. If you look at prison, people who go to prison normally have issues with their fathers in some way, shape, or form. If you look at people who are on death row, something like 98% of people who end up on death row are people who lacked the father in the home and had anger issues with their father because they didn't know who their father was. There are people who take it and say, okay, I'm going to try and be the best father that I can be, based upon things, but a lot of times they're not going to be able to become what they fully could have became, no matter how good somebody like Barack Obama or anybody else might do. Seeing a father, having a father in their life, seeing things that he should do as far as whatever we're going to say the norms is, because for each family, the norm might be different. You know, some families, the father may work but not be the breadwinner. In some families, the father is the breadwinner. In some families, the father might have money that comes in. In some families, the father might be injured, and so he can't do some of the things that we say, but just his presence, just his mindset, just his thought process can be something that binds the house together. We even forget, like, the word husband, you know, means house band. You know, it even comes from something like that, where you bind the house together. And the word house actually means family. It doesn't mean brick and mortar, but a house actually just means your family. It means your kin, the people that you take care of. And so a lot of stuff that's attacked are used to attack people. You know, we talk about the lack of things now, but we forget that many programs that have existed to make sure that you take the father out of the home. And it's something that it's very clear evidence. You know, it's very precise evidence. We don't have to look too far to see what's going on. You know, how many people wish that they had a father in their life. And we've actually taken it where the father is not supposed to be as much. We actually penalize people for being fathers. You know, think about how I know in Virginia, I know in D.C., I know in Georgia, I know in Chicago, you know, or in Illinois, you know, I know in certain places where if a family is doing poorly and they need help from society, if you have a father in the home, there are very few programs, if any at all, in some places where they're going to help you if you involve the father. But if you allow the man to sleep on the street and the woman to go ahead and try to be taken care of and the children be taken care of, they will do that for you all day. Like the father, he has to fend for himself, and they won't maybe they'll even give you some extra money because he exists out there, maybe an extra $50 for food or something for him for the whole month. But the goal is to make sure he's taken away from the family. Or look at how many cases you've seen where people get divorces or there's battles for custody or whatever.
Yep.
And just because he's a male, he's already going to be in a position to where he's going to be behind the eight ball. There are some men who you've talked about this before in this very program, not on today's show, but you've talked about this on this radio broadcast before, where people have people have had issues with the fact that they can't, for them to be able to even be free and to be able to even eventually one day see their children, because they can't get a job or whatever, they've actually tried to make it as a homeless person. I've run into many people like that, to where it's easier for them for the government to not know where they are, and then to just try and stay out in the tent or stay out, you know, in the woods somewhere. It's easier for them to do that. And sometimes, if we be honest, there can be some people where that's a cop-out, but it's not always. You know, sometimes, legitimately, as soon as there's any kind of strife, as soon as somebody goes to the court, it's automatic that the father better come up with this, he better come up with this percentage. If he can't find a job within a certain, matter of weeks sometimes, that he's going to go to jail. Like, the system is set up for us to be able to split. And at one point, it was something that they did to focus on people of color, to focus on black people, to focus on specific culture and stuff like that. But now, because of that, you know, if you do it to one person, if you're not careful, what happens is you can do it to everybody. And so now you're seeing across the board where fatherhood is something that's not celebrated. Fatherhood, I think, when they did a survey, something like fatherhood is something like the 18th and 19th, and some, or it could even be lower than that, but as far as celebrated holiday in the world. And think about that. The first two holidays is Christmas and Mother's Day. So that means between Christmas and Mother's Day, you've got, 16 of the holidays, 17 of the holidays, something like that, that come before you even think about a father. Think about, so we're talking about before your father. You're thinking about Thanksgiving, you're thinking about which is it's a holiday where you take over people's land. Before you think about your father, you're thinking about, you know, Halloween, dressing up as a goblin or a ghoul, and you think that that's more important than celebrating your father. Before your father, you're thinking about you know, President's Day, maybe July 4th. Maybe you're thinking about, you know, celebrating, you know, and going second line and down in Louisiana. You know, like you got so many different things that people have accepted and think are more important than the father. That shows that where society is. And as Time Magazine has shown us, the family begins to break down. And what we have to understand is when the family breaks down, then the community breaks down. If the community breaks down, the education breaks down. When the education breaks down, the economics break down. And, you know, even if we get into religion, which I don't want to be heavy in, but even if we get into different religions, we know that if fathers go to mosque, or if fathers go to church, or if fathers go to temple, or if fathers go to synagogue, or whatever it is, if fathers chant, whatever it is, whatever the father does, it's more likely that the children are going to be spiritually inclined to do what the father does. It's that big of a deal. And, you know, no wonder we have little girls who are out here who are chasing after bad boys and not looking for good men because they didn't have a father. You know, no wonder we have young boys out here who are just continuing the process of not taking care of their children because they saw that their father didn't take care of their children. And, you know, it brings my heart gladness. I was just talking to my oldest son today, who's on his way to college, and he was telling me, you know, he was saying how blessed he is to be able to go and do certain things and all these great things. But, you know, the fact that he can call me up at any time, the fact that he can talk to me, the fact that we can talk about business, the fact that he can listen to the multiple platforms I'm on and be able to, you know, be a better person because he has an example. And I've said this, and then I'll get out the way after this, but I've said this before, that people say, why do you do all these different things? Why are you on YouTube? Why are you on TikTok? Why are you on this? Why are you on this radio show? Why are you going here? Why are you traveling? And I say a lot of the stuff that's recorded, I don't record just for you guys. I say I record them just in case something happens to me and my children. They can go back and listen to thousands of different things that I put out over the years to be able to, you know, hear their father's voice, to hear them get something to speak to. I dress the way that I do. I let my hair go the way that I do because I want them to see something that's different and see something that's for them and not for the whole world. If other people like it, that's fine. But my job is to raise them up. You know, I can't raise the world, but my goal is to raise them up to be people who make the change and things that not only that I want to see, but that I was myself. And so I want my daughter, when she brings, you know, she brings home somebody or she's thinking about bringing home somebody to marry, I want her to look at that person and say, oh, my dad probably wouldn't accept you. Why? Not just even whether I would or not. I want her to think about it because she would be comparing him to me, you know. That's what your daughters do. They look at you and they say, I'm going to marry somebody like that guy. And so I want them to look at that and to say, yeah, my dad, that's not a high enough level. My dad took me out. My dad paid for this. My dad was there for me. My dad took care of business. My dad did all these different things. So those are things that are necessary for us to look at.
Yeah. So, Brother Koofy, while I got you on the phone, we're talking. We're almost 9 minutes down to it. We got a new segment I want to put into, brother, and Brother Cooper, I did it again. Guess what I did? Guess what I did?
What's that?
I came up with the illest cool down recipe for ginger lemonade. All right, so we're going to get into a little bit of this, just a little talk about that. I think y'all, if you don't have your pen, get your pen out now. Get your paper out now, because when I give you this recipe, you make this recipe, you will be saying, Brother Alfred, what the hell do you get this recipe from? So we're going to get into today's Alfred Cooking Corner. All right, we're getting Alfred Cooking Corner right here real quick right for you. All right, everybody, if you have a blender, a strainer, please have it ready. And make sure it's a fine strainer. You're going to need for this recipe fresh ginger, lemon juice or fresh lemon juice, orange juice, cinnamon, and nutmeg. So here's how it goes. First, you cut the ginger out fresh. Don't peel it, nothing like that. Put it into the blender. You just need like maybe a half a cup, depending on how much you want to portion. If you do maybe like a full cup to make the concentration, because first you need to make your concentration, put that together. Now, here's how you're going to do it, folks. Now, I guarantee you, if you got a girlfriend, you got a wife, and she's sitting hot, and you want to give something with a kick that'll wake her up and make sure she's good to the day, you want to make the ginger lemonade, okay? First, you take the ginger, put it into the blender. You take a third of a cup of fresh purified water, or you can use tap water if you want, and blend it up fine. And then after that, you take like another bowl and you put the ginger into the strainer. You press all the juice out of the excess ginger out into the bowl. Then after you proceed with that, you put the ginger juice back into the blender, pour a third of a cup of orange juice, a teaspoon or a third of a cup of sugar or brown sugar. Use 3 tablespoons of cinnamon, a fourth or a quarter cup of nutmeg, and you blend that up with the lemon juice. Pour the lemon juice. You need a cup of lemon juice. Put that into the blender. Blend out fine. There's your concentrate. Now you have your concentrate all set to go. You're ready for the next part. You're going to need at least 2 to 3 or 4 cups of water put into the blender. Reblend again, and then take some ice cubes, put into your cup, pour, and here you go. You got ginger lemonade. Now, I tell you, I just made some. I've been doing the whole broadcast of drinking this whole thing. I think I drank the gallon. So I'm hyper right now. I don't know. I think it's the ginger. So I done did it again. And this is Brother Alpha talking to you live today. And we want to say thank you for tuning in today for another NSF radio station broadcast program. We want to appreciate you. Hey, Brother Koofy, what are we doing on Koofy Speaks this week?
As always, we're going to be on Koofy Speaks on the radio. It's going to be at 1 o'clock p.m. every Saturday. And we're actually going to focus a lot on hip-hop. We're going to do some stuff about the culture. We're going to talk about some good. We're going to talk about the bad. We're going to talk about things that we can change. We're going to give you some alternatives to some of the stuff that's out there now. When people say you can't listen to hip-hop because everybody's bad, everybody's terrible, we want to look at some things. And we're also going to be honest. We're going to look at some things from back in the day that we were listening to that we used to applaud, like Ice Cube, like Snoop Dogg, like even some stuff that Pac may or may not have done, some things that maybe we grew up with that we probably should try to reject from our mindset, and we definitely should probably try and keep our children away from, because our sons definitely, but especially our daughters as well, probably shouldn't hear some of these things that we grew up with thinking was okay and thought it was okay to dance to. So even though we like to talk about everybody today, we forget we've got a lot of things that came through. So we're actually going to use it to talk about some things. Maybe we can even talk about some of the musicianship and things as well. So we look forward to you guys listening in here on Blog Talk Radio. If you're not signed up yet, or if you're not somebody who's has gone to NSF or NSFatherhood.org to be able to make sure that you go over through there to NSF radio stations and to make sure that you go in Blog Talk Radio and then sign up so that you can stream stuff and you can stream it live, make sure you go do that so that you can listen to us not only every Thursday here at 1 o'clock p.m., but also on Saturdays at 1 o'clock p.m. as well.
All right. Everybody, please donate. Go to NationalSavingFatherhood.org, NSFatherhood.org, and please donate. We're doing a $5 drive. So if you go to the front page of the NSF, it's only $5. I mean, we can all do $5. What? You can do what? A cheeseburger on a dollar menu? But you can take that little cheeseburger and donate to a good cause. give a gift, help a father out, donate today, go on there live, and, you know, be part of the problem, be part of the solution, not part of the problem. And as always, Brother Alpha say, I may fall down, but I get right back up, and I keep on moving every day. Thank you. Everybody, have a good day. I want you to have a blessed up. No, we're here for you. 1-800-903-2096. Either press for the hotline zero or for a direct connection to our customer service or client list programs. Just press one. Have a good day. Peace.